So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas. It is so good to be back with you. It's been feels like a couple of weeks. A lot's happened. It is a whole new year. I just realized, and yes, just realized as in a couple hours ago when I was writing the date, that it's actually 2022. I'm still saying 2020. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just like this world that we've lived in the last couple years. Some people feel like they've lost a year. I don't quite feel like I've lost a year or anything, but I still say 2022. Some years just kind of stick in my head, and I think 2020 has, so I need to write 2022 like 100 times, and maybe I'll get it right by June, July. I don't know. But today, coming up on the show, I'm excited to be with you because it's our weekly happy hour. And I know that Kale was over there drinking tonic water at the end of the last show, but this is our weekly happy hour. So you choose your drink of choice. Come on up, and we're going to dive into every happy hour here on Trending, going deeper than this emotional, fleeting sense of happiness. It's great to feel happy, but happiness comes and goes. And in a culture that tends to obsess with the idea of being happy, that struggles with depression, from antidepressants to suicidality in our culture, I think this is a topic that's so important because as people of faith, we talk about it from the perspective of joy. Now, joy is a virtue. We know that joy is to live a grace-filled life. And to pray for this fruit of the Holy Spirit, that is joy, is so important because that's what allows us to maintain. That's what keeps us in a stable state throughout our lives, to live a life united to God. And so I want to talk about a handful of issues today. Of course, it's a new year, so I want to talk about making goals, but specifically making Catholic goals for 2022. We're going to talk about how, hey, it's still Christmas. It's the 10th day of Christmas. We'll talk about why saying the name of Jesus actually makes us more joyful, especially today on the feast day of the memorial of the most holy name of Jesus. We're also going to discuss how to stick to your goals or New Year's resolutions, whatever you might have made for the new year, maybe Christmas promises, whatever it might be for you. So thanks for joining me. I hope that if you can't listen to the full episode, you'll subscribe at relevantradio.com/trending to the podcast. So we're in this Christmas season. I don't know about you. You know, maybe you're coming through it. It's a day 10. Maybe you're 5 pounds heavier. Maybe you're one New Year's goal closer to actually doing the weight loss you want to jump into, but hopefully you are still celebrating whatever it may be. What are the most common New Year's goals? Would you say it's like weight loss and exercise? I think that exercise is probably number one. I bet you there are a lot of people who try to quit caffeine or smoking too. Okay, so you can, I started exercising on February. Oh, you're drinking Coke. Okay, let's see. I'm looking. Lucas did not give up caffeine, and Patrick is waiting till February to start exercising. I think that's what I got from this. No, last year he started exercising February. Okay, I've got it. What are your goals? So we're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit, but as we're in this Christmas season still, and I know that the church had really early celebration of the Epiphany. Traditionally, the Epiphany is celebrated on the 6th of January. It can still be observed on that day, but maybe you went to Mass this Sunday and went, oh, hey, is Christmas over? Well, the season still continues, and the season continues even longer. In fact, I've asked the question before, and you can go and catch a podcast, when does Christmas actually end? And we have a little ways to go here, but you might see some of that transition. Some of the decorations starting at the end of the week is usually the churches stay at least somewhat decorated until Epiphany on the 6th. But here's the reality. We are in this Christmas season, and sharing the good news of Christmas doesn't end at the gifts and the cards and the Christmas cards, which if you're receiving my Christmas card, it's still coming. I think I heard someone finally received their Christmas card today. Two things. One, I was not going to send Christmas cards during Advent because I wanted to try and wait till Christmas, But also, let's be real, I just really didn't even have time to take photos until just a couple of days before Christmas, too. But, you know, even thinking about all of these things, from giving the gifts to receiving them, the Christmas cards that come in the mail, the updates and catching up with loved ones, the food, the celebration, is my family loves to call it the Christmas cheer, with all the Christmas cookies and delightful things that tend to be made. But here we are, a little over a week in, and maybe that's starting to fizzle out. Maybe you've already stopped listening to Christmas music, and I really pray that you have not taken down your Christmas tree yet. If you took that down, that is so sad. Please keep your Christmas tree up. I want to see photos of your Christmas trees up still, actually. You can go ahead and tag me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, on social media. Patrick Alog, our producer here, keeps his nativity set up in his window all year long. I thought he just set it up early when I saw a photo of his house recently, and he said no. He keeps it up all year long. Goals. My nativity set did not make it out of my hallway because it's about the same height as my baby, and as soon as she saw it, she walked up or crawled and then climbed up to Mother Mary and just hugged Mother Mary and embraced her, and my heart just about sunk. I couldn't put the nativity set outside. So she goes and visits Mother Mary and Saint Joseph and baby Jesus and the angel multiple times a day. She climbs up the stairs to go up there and visit. So a lot of years ago, I was in high school, actually, and one of my closest friends at the time, we went after Christmas shopping. I actually think it was already the new year, so it was maybe the 1st or 2nd of January, and me being in high school thinking, hey, it's still Christmas, I wasn't really thinking about the fact that no one else was actually celebrating Christmas still. As I'm at each and every shop, you know, checking out, you know, say, you know, oh, goodbye, thank you, I kept saying Merry Christmas. And I remember my friend was getting so annoyed with me. And she was super Catholic too. And she finally said, would you stop saying Merry Christmas? Everyone looks totally confused every single time you say Merry Christmas. And so what? It's still Christmas. She's like, not for them. Just say Happy New Year. And I always think back on that story this time of year because I do say Merry Christmas still to some people, maybe just Happy New Year, but it doesn't hurt to remind people, and maybe they can even ask you if they're confused as to why you're still saying Merry Christmas. It's not just that you're obsessed with Christmas, it's that you're really trying to help remind yourself and others that we're still celebrating the good news. And the good news should change us. It should inform our lives. It should form our lives. You see, that Christ child that was born, that little itty-bitty human being who we see represented in the nativity scenes at church, maybe even in our own nativity scenes out in our homes, on our coffee tables, in front of the house, or if you're mine, in my hallway because the baby just loves it there. This gift of Christ should transform us. And this is why if you're still saying Merry Christmas, so be it. In a certain respect, every single day is Christmas to us because Christ is born in us every single day, time and time again. This is why I'm so grateful to the church for this long, drawn-out liturgical season. And if you didn't catch the episode and you're still kind of wondering, well, wait, when does Christmas end? Well, the Christmas season can actually go liturgically all the way up to Candlemas, also known as the Feast of the Presentation or Purification of Our Lady, on February 2nd. And so we keep our Christmas tree all the way through the 2nd, which is why we decided to start getting our Christmas tree a little later, as much as it behooves me to wait that long. It's also something really neat to look forward to during Advent and to continue to build up that season of anticipation and desire for Christ, even in the little decorations in our home. And so I was really thinking about this year because my baby girl was 5 days old last year on Christmas, and here I am looking back. And it's crazy to think how much our life has changed and how this little itty bitty human being truly endeared herself to us last year. And I think about how Jesus Christ could have come as an adult and suddenly appeared here on earth. But he chose to truly become a human person from the moment of conception. Of course, his human and divine nature combined, but a baby. And we had the opportunity to grow to love him as a baby. The Blessed Virgin Mary delighted in his coos and his cries and his diapers, taught him how to eat, how to crawl. My baby girl just started walking this last week, and just imagine what it was like to see literally the God of the universe walking for the first time before Our Lady and Saint Joseph. I bring up these little things because this Christmas, with this new baby of Jesus Christ being born, we should become attached. We should become endeared to him. He should transform our life. We should fall in love with Christ the way he meant for you and I to. From the moment of his conception, come on, we're pro-life people. We love babies. We love babies in the womb. We love ultrasound images. A number of people have just shared with me that they're pregnant. I'm so excited for them. And just the amount of love that you can have, even just knowing, oh my gosh, this person's having a baby and how tiny that baby is. Jesus Christ chose to take that form, that shape, so that we can fall more deeply in love with him. But I found it fascinating on Christmas, as I was sitting there in Mass, and I looked up to my left, and there was a massive, beautiful image, like floor-to-ceiling image, of our Lord on the cross. And I just thought, think of that for just a moment. What Christ's sacrifice was on the cross is even more significant. It impacts us far greater when we start to grow in love for him from his infancy. This is why the church continues to celebrate Christ in his infancy, in his birth. Because it's a reminder for us to be grateful that this little Christ child, this baby who we're celebrating, who's adorned perhaps in a manger underneath your tree right now, that baby one day, and I kept looking up at the side of the church on Christmas Day, would one day be crucified. He would one day lay it all down for you and I. And so the question at hand, as you're joining us during our weekly happy hour here on Trending, I'm asking myself this, and I hope you will too. Do I actually work to attach myself personally to Christ? And especially this Christmas season to the Christ child, recognizing the full significance of the incarnation, of the birth, the life, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we form an attachment to the child Jesus? Maybe it's hard for you because you see icons and you see, you know, cute depictions of images on Instagram, or a child in a plastic or glass or ceramic child in a manger under your tree, or in a nativity set in front of someone's house. How do you form that attachment to the infant Jesus? And I'm not talking, you know, about having a devotion necessarily to the infant of Prague, but to Jesus Christ, to understanding the delight of a child. I think that some of the ways we can do this is, one, by continuing to celebrate this Christmas season that we are now in. One of the things that Father Scott Herrera shared when he was here with us on Trending just a couple days before Christmas was how important it is during the Christmas season to have that manger, that little cradle underneath your tree with a Christ child in it, and to gather as a family at least once during each day of Christmas to pray there. And so that's one physical representation that can be a reminder to us. But also prayer throughout the liturgical season of Christmas is so important. If you follow the readings of the Mass, if you follow the liturgy of the hours, that's the divine hours, or sorry, the divine liturgy that is prayed by the priests and religious sisters during the day, all throughout the day, you'll actually notice all of sacred scripture, all of the prophecies from Isaiah to Jeremiah to Zechariah, all the way through, we see then that Jesus Christ himself fulfills them, the predictions, the coming of our Lord. I put up on my social media think it was on Christmas Eve, a post that had just some sacred scripture. Some of it was from the Old Testament, of phrases that we say that we commonly associate with Jesus Christ's birth that we would think were all New Testament scriptures. But indeed, they were actually came from the Old Testament. They're prophecies of Christ. And this is so significant for us as we really do ponder the reality that Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the long-awaited expectation that had been building and building and building in the chosen people. And just think about the words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." That comes from Isaiah the prophet, from the Old Testament, many years before Jesus Christ himself. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. It's Matthew chapter 1. We read the angel said to the shepherds at the birth of Christ, "You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2 verse 12. Read these pieces of scripture. Dive into them. Devour them. Let them stir your soul to the significance of the event of Christmas. This is why prayer, reading sacred scripture is so important. Going to Mass. All of these things are ways to form an attachment to the infant Jesus. Fasting. Fasting and gratitude for the gift of the Christ child and the suffering he would endure. And talk about Christmas still. It's okay if you only talk to your Catholic friends or maybe your Protestant friends so you can explain to them, hey, we're still partying as Catholics. We're still celebrating Christmas. All of these are ways to work on building and forming that attachment to the Christ child because he is the joy of the world. And he will transform your life and continue to bring that joy into the full year of 2022, even far beyond the Christmas music, the Christmas tree, the 5 extra pounds you gained from all the treats you had or the overeating you did. Let's be real, you did it too. And so I hope that this is the opportunity this Christmas season for you again to form that attachment to the infant Jesus. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. Coming up, I'm going to talk about Catholic goals in 2022. Do you set Catholic goals? Do you have any? We're going to talk about some ideas for what they can be. We'll also discuss later how to stick to your goals, Catholic or not. And on the memorial of the most holy name of Jesus, how we can incorporate Jesus' name more so into our lives. Today's show is sponsored by Colby Academy. With more than 40 years of experience in Catholic home education, Colby Academy offers a blend of classical Catholic curriculum and the latest educational technology. More info at relevantradio.com/Colby. It's 2022 and it's day 10, the 10th day of Christmas. Are you following the series? What is the gift that your true love brings to you on the 10th day of Christmas? You can follow my Instagram. I've been posting on each day what the gifts are from the 12 Days of Christmas song and what the significance of them are. If you didn't follow the podcast, it's actually available now via the podcast, relevantradio.com/trending, or wherever you love to get your pods. And there you can actually find the episode where I discuss the 12 Days of Christmas song. It's actually code for teaching the Catholic faith. at a time when Christianity was persecuted, specifically Catholicism was persecuted in England. So you have to follow it. I'll continue my posts. I hope you'll check them out and share them. They're a lot of fun. It's something that even people, if they're not super deep in their faith, have really enjoyed learning because people love history and they love to know, especially the hidden meaning behind certain songs. And this one is an incredible story. So I hope you listen to the podcast, share it, and join me in checking out those posts and share them as well on social media. You can follow me at Timmerie, T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E, and who knows, maybe I'll put out a cute video of the baby walking now because she's walking. That's been our fun Christmas vacation things that we've been doing around the house. Also teething miserably, miserably teething. So let's talk about Catholic Goals 2022. Now, whether you have Catholic goals or no Catholic goals, I want to talk about maybe implementing a couple this year. And we're going to discuss later on in the show how to stick to your goals, whatever they may be. I have some great tips. I'm very goal-oriented in my life. This is, I think, a really exciting and fun conversation. We'll discuss the memorial of the Most Holy Name of Jesus as well and how we can better incorporate his name into our daily lives. So are you a goals person or are you not? Are you a resolution person? Do you wish you were a goals person? My husband cannot stand New Year's resolutions. He's like, that's what Lent is for. That's what this season of Lent is for, and it comes very soon. Or that's what the liturgical season of Advent is for. So he does not make New Year's resolutions. Although I think I might have cracked him last year because I made up like something really like simple and silly. Like, hey, we're going to do this. I don't know. It's something simple. And he's like, okay, that's a resolution I could believe in. I don't remember what it is. And I don't think I made any New Year's resolutions this year. It's so funny. I remember the last time someone asked me if I made a New Year's resolution was before we were pregnant with the baby. And that year people were like, yeah, what are your New Year's resolutions? I'm like, you know, I don't really have one, but one of my, you know, goals is to have a baby this year, hopefully, if it's God's will. And everyone just like freaked out. They couldn't believe that that was my New Year's resolution. Everyone made a big deal thinking like, man, my New Year's resolution is kind of like not much after that. Like, you're going to have new life. It's just so funny because I bring that up because we can compare our resolutions. You hear someone else has a new one, or maybe you read an article about the five best New Year's resolutions. But what I want to talk about now are Catholic resolutions. Sure, you could wait till Lent. Maybe you did something during Advent. Or maybe it could be a gift that you work on giving to Christ this Christmas. I remember some years ago when I was in high school, I decided that for Christmas, my gift to Christ was I was going to commit to praying the rosary every day. That's a gift you can give to our Lord, to the Christ child. So let's talk about implementing goals or whatever your Catholic resolutions may be. So there are three things that are super important. Number one, you have to calendar the time, whatever that might be that you're going to do. Two, you need to work on reading as a part of your faith. And three, identify one area in your life you haven't allowed or struggle to allow your faith to touch or transform. So let's talk about these. So calendaring time to achieve that Catholic goal you want to implement in 2022. So here are some fun ideas, but I'll start with the first one that I'm actually incorporated into my calendar this year. I made sure this year that I put the Embers days into my calendar four times a year. There's a series of fasting that's been done in the tradition of the church on a Wednesday, a Friday, and a Saturday in the same week. And those 3 days include intense prayer and fasting, prayer for the church, prayer and remission for sins, prayer and offering for the fruit of the earth, you know, our harvests, our crops, the provisions that God gives us, and much more. And so that's something that I put on our calendar this year because I want to make sure that we remember to observe all of those Ember days with the fasting and making sure we make it to Mass and uniting with others who are doing these same prayers. Something that a number of years ago I put on my calendar, and it's been really fun, and actually it's, I'll just share with you in a second, but the other thing is putting your baptismal days on your calendar. Now, actually, this is pretty significant today because 1 year ago today, my baby girl was baptized. It's just crazy to me. It's such a fog because I can't believe it's been a year already. And I remember I was only 2 weeks postpartum when we had the baptism. So looking back on it and looking back on those photos and the beautiful traditions of the Maronite rite of the Catholic Church, because my husband is a Lebanese, a Maronite Catholic, we had her baptized in the Maronite rite. And there's this really neat tradition they do where they place the baby on the altar the first time she enters into a church for a presentation of the child before the baptism. Anyways, I digress. It was really neat. But we, a few years ago, started putting our baptismal days on the calendar. Why is this significant? Because while your birthday is awesome and should be celebrated, your baptismal feast day, your own little feast day, is the day that you came into the church. The day that you took Christ, as our Protestant brothers and sisters love to say, as your Lord and Savior. When people ask, have you been saved? Yes, I've been saved. I've been redeemed by Christ, and I have the salvific graces flowing within me. Now, I can lose my salvation. I can compromise my salvation, which is what happens in our fallenness. But these baptismal feast days are so significant. It was funny this year. So usually I've started incorporating slowly some of my family members' baptismal feast days into my calendar. And one of them has been my brother-in-law, because he came into the church just a few years ago. And so every year I either try to send him a little card ahead of time so that he receives it, especially being a new convert to the church. It's a good reminder, you know, for him as to, you know, what the significance was of entering into the church and the significance of his Catholic family as well. And so it was funny because this year I forgot to tell my sister happy baptismal anniversary. She was one of them that I had known of. I don't even think I have all of my siblings. And the next day I called her and I said, oh, by the way, I forgot to send a card or say anything. She said, I was wondering all day, you didn't call or say anything to me. I was so surprised. So they've kind of gotten used to it, and they've started putting their baptismal anniversaries on their calendars too, which is pretty cool. So these are some of the things that you can calendar time into your year. Fun ways. Planned feasting, planned fasting. Maybe it's trying to go to Mass once a week or every day even. Maybe it's trying to go to Mass and meet up with a friend. You know, have that accountability to go every Thursday. My husband and I, when we were dating, we would commit to going to Mass every Thursday together. You know, we lived in separate areas and went to, you know, churches that were closer to us. But on Thursday, we kind of found that in between, a place in the middle where together we could go ahead and go to Mass every Thursday. And even now, since we've been married, we choose a couple days of the week and times that work for us to go to daily Mass together as a family. Another thing that you could calendar into your week or your day is praying the daily rosary. Now, this one is probably one of the most simple things you could do. Maybe you have a commute to or from work. You can take 15 of those minutes and pray the rosary. Or maybe you pray half on the way to work, half on the way back. You can pray it in the car with your family, with your kids. Maybe it's even just a decade. Now, you can always pray the family rosary across America at 7 p.m. Central here with Father Rocky as well after trending. Other things that you can make for your Catholic 2022 goals, if you haven't already done this, these should be at the top of your list. Making sure you set aside time to pray morning prayer and pray night prayer. Morning prayer, make sure that you're awake enough to do it, otherwise you might fall back asleep. If that means you need to drink your coffee, maybe even exercise for a few minutes, do so. You know, I don't tend to go immediately into morning prayer right now. You know, different seasons in my life I have, depending on my alertness first thing in the day or the neediness of a child or whatever might be happening. But at the very least, make sure that you get your morning prayer in. You know, if you're going to do an hour or two into your day, kneel for a moment before your crucifix, hopefully that's in your room, and just honor God for a second, and then go about your day and come back to your morning prayer later if that's what you need to do. But at least you're starting your day with Him. And then the evening prayer, the night prayer before you go to bed, is so important. Doing that examination of conscience, looking at how you've done well, how you're working through, you know, certain faults and bad habits and outright sins you might be struggling with. And, you know, honoring God, turning to Him and praying for His blessing before you sleep. We'll have to talk about one of the traditional nighttime prayers that came out of actually a plague. You may have heard it before. It's a very simple, and it was prayed because in part they didn't know if they would live beyond the day. And it goes very simply. Maybe you can memorize this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. And it's a very simple prayer we pray every night with our baby girl. And it seems so morbid when you think about it. And it actually, I think I've got a toy for the baby's baptism that doesn't use the same words about death. It's a very light and fluffy version for kids. Like, no, we want to talk about death. Why? Because remembering our death is so important, our death to self, but also the fact that we're just pilgrims here. We're made for heaven, and it's okay and good to die. And I want my kid to know that from an early age, to not fear it, but to be prepared to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a couple quick other things that you can do to implement some Catholic goals in 2022. Put on your calendar when you are going to go to confession monthly. It's what the saints prescribe. It's what the doctors of the church prescribe. When will you go? Going to confession regularly has become more difficult since I've had my baby girl. It used to be that I'd go weekly, or at the very least, like, okay, maybe I don't need to go this week, and I'd wait a couple weeks. It was this momentum and rhythm that we were so used to. Since I've had her, that's been more difficult, just like everything else in life. Remember, this is why it's important to have goals, because you need to keep your eye on the prize as different things happen in life. That's why we're going to talk in just a little bit about how to stick to your goals, whether they're Catholic or not. And so going to confession, plan the time, find the church, make it most convenient, but put it in your schedule. And that goes the same. If you want to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays, because those have been the days traditionally in the tradition of the church where people have fasted, well, put it on your calendar. Maybe you need to put a big sticky note on your fridge saying no meat on Fridays, or stop trying to go for the extra desserts, or whatever it might be. Put it into your calendar. That's my number one recommendation. Catholic Goals 2022, calendar the time. Put in the feast days. If it's a feast day you love, if it's a saint you love, make sure you put it down and plan for it. And if you don't keep a calendar, please start. Please start. I think that this is one of the top goals, or one of the top recommendations that so many people make today when it comes to various fields, from psychology to task saturation, business implementation, just self-betterment, that you have a time-blocked calendar. Okay, number two, Catholic Goals 2022, read. Read 3 pages a night. It's a great way to relax, unwind, and clear your mind. Couple great books I'm thinking of off the top of my head, especially if it's 3 pages per night, Sacred Scripture, the Bible. This just popped into my head, the book by Scott Hahn, A Father Who Keeps His Promise. One of my favorite theology books is Theology and Sanity by Frank Sheed. And I think I mentioned the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I'm reading like 8 books right now. By the way, I'm putting my arms up as if you can see me. I have like a glorious stack of 10 books that my husband got me for Christmas. Some of these include The Moral Theology of St. Alphonse Liguori, hardback. I'm just saying they're glorious. Like, I'm drooling over them. He found a book that's out of print from like 100 years ago. Or sorry, no, a couple hundred years ago. It's beautiful red binding, gold, you know, gold on the side of the pages. And it's a book on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's so neat. He found it at this antique shop when he was traveling. I'll have to take a photo of my book stack. I've got some really cool. I've got like a giant volume on psychology. Anyways, read those 3 pages a night, even if you're, quote, not a reader. If you love our Lord Jesus Christ, you will take the time to spend it with Him, to learn more about Him. I will never forget, as one theology professor once said to us, you would never go on a date, meet with someone, and say, hi, what's your name, your favorite color, and best restaurant you like to go to, and then say, don't share with me anything else. You're constantly trying to get to know the person you date, the person you marry, or at least you should be. And I think that that's such an important reminder with Christ. We need to read what have those people who've loved Him most wrote and said about Him. What does He communicate to us through the Holy Spirit, through the inspired word of God and sacred scripture? What does the church hand down throughout the centuries in the catechism? All of these are great ways to grow deeper in your faith. And finally, I mentioned it earlier, that third goal for 2022 is for your faith is to identify one area in your life you haven't allowed or struggle to allow your faith to touch. It might be a relationship with someone. It could be the relationship with your spouse, maybe your in-laws. It could be the way you eat. It could be the movies you watch, the way you spend your money. Whatever it might be, it's different for everyone. Those are just some that I can think of off the top of my head. Pray for charity. Pray for self-control or whatever that virtue is that you need to help bring Christ and allow him to radically transform those parts of your life. Because this is what's so important, that Christ transforms and informs all areas of our life, that we don't put him in a box. We don't leave him on Christmas Day with the Christmas decorations and take him out again at Lent when we slap the ashes on our forehead and then talk about him for a day when we celebrate Easter. That he's with us all year long in every part of our life. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio. I'm going to come back talking about the memorial of the Most Holy Name of Jesus, how incorporating his name into our life will make us more joyful people. And be sure, if you're not already joining us in the 12 days of Christmas celebration, that you go listen, subscribe to the podcast explaining the 12 days of Christmas song. And I'm also posting on social media to explain it as well. So day 10 tonight, I'll go ahead and post that as well. And we'll come back in just a little bit talking about how to stick to your goals. Solidarity HealthShare now offers a new program called Solidarity One. With Solidarity One, members decide what healthcare options best fit their needs and with the flexibility to meet any budget. Learn more at CatholicHealthShare.com.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
It's a memorial of the most holy name of Jesus. Happy 10th day, merry 10th day of Christmas. If you're not joining us, please check out the podcast explaining the 12 days of Christmas song and follow along as I share each day the hidden meaning behind each of the gifts in the 12 days of Christmas. By the way, I think I'm almost there. I can almost sing the whole song. Now, not that you want to hear it and not that I will ever do it on the show, but like have the whole song memorized now. I used to have, you know, here and there, five golden rings. You know, it was easy. I am not posting that on Instagram, Patrick. I can't sing. You don't understand. You do not understand. I cannot sing. My husband laughs at me when he hears me sing. My mom joyfully is giddy when she hears me sing. I have been corrected by monks and encouraged to find the correct tone, whatever. I'm a dancer. I don't sing. I could never do Broadway. I remember my uncle was like, you know, because he was a very well-known dancer. I remember he told me, you know, you can learn how to sing too because you could do, you know, other musical things. I'm like, I really can't sing. I know everyone can be trained. Maybe someone wants to come and train me. I hope for my daughter's sake because she really loves piano. She loves music. She does take my hands off the piano though if I start banging at it. And she like twinkles her little fingers along it. Adorable. So I digress. Today is the memorial of the most holy name of Jesus. Right here in the middle of this Christmas liturgical season, we have this feast day focusing on the naming of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus's name in the simplest terms means Savior. We know that Jesus's name was given to him by God himself. And it's actually pretty significant because we'll talk in just a moment about other people who were named by God and the significance of their names. We know, for example, that Angel Gabriel comes to Saint Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and says that Mary will bear a son and that you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, one of the most common devotions in the church for years now has been at the name of Jesus, we bow our heads. a very simple genuflection and honoring of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's really neat because in the Latin Mass tradition, if you've ever gone to Latin Mass, any and every time our Lord Jesus' name is said, the priest bows his head, and if he has his little black hat on still, because we go to the traditional Latin Mass, the Tridentine Mass, Father will, you know, lift his hat as a sign of respect and bow his head gently. This tip of the hat is a cultural sign of respect, a Catholic cultural sign of respect and appreciation for Jesus Christ's name and the power that it brings. And I hope that this is something you'll consider and try to start implementing, that when Jesus's name is said, that you bow your head gently in honor and respect. And it, Especially when we hear our Lord's name taken in vain, which is so often. Anytime I hear our Lord's name taken in vain, when people will use that phrase, Jesus Christ, I just nod my head in honor and say, I love you, Lord. I'm sorry that they do not know, or they do not understand, or they do not honor. You pray for that person that moment. But let's talk about incorporating praying the name of Jesus into our lives. You see, the name of Jesus is actually, it's fascinating, because if you look at the Greek word, part of the root of the word, that word actually has to do with healing. And so if we look at Jesus' name means Savior, and breaking down the word, part of that word has to do with healing. Jesus saves. He heals. What does he heal? He heals our wounded human nature. He heals us so that we might be with him. And I don't know about you, but I could use a lot of healing throughout my day. A lot of reminder of Jesus Christ as Savior. In those trying moments when things aren't going my way, in those trying moments when I become angry, when I'm tempted to gossip, when I'm just bored and maybe I start doing things that aren't right because I'm bored, when I obsessively think about something or someone or pick apart that person, when I struggle with being apathetic, of just not caring, being overwhelmed by what's happening in the world, all of these moments, and so many more that there could be, something specific for you. Jesus' name saves. It is powerful. It is healing. That in that moment of struggle, of temptation, of sorrow, whatever it may be, you praise the name of Jesus. And it could be in the good moments too. You say Jesus. Simply saying the name of Jesus, bowing your head simply and quietly. You see, Jesus Christ received his name from God. Names themselves should express something about the nature of the thing or person. For example, the classic name that we know of, God, changes Simon's name to Peter, which means rock, because he was supposed to be the rock of the church. Adam's name was, he was given his name by God. Adam means man of the earth. Eve, we know, means mother of the living. Abraham's name means father of many nations. All of these names we know that God himself gave hold a massive significance in terms of who they are and what they represent, what their lives will mean. Jesus's name means Savior. Jesus is revealed to us in his mission, in his very name. The angel Gabriel to Mary, not only just to Joseph, but to Mary, says, you shall call his name Jesus. This reveals the purpose of Jesus' life on earth. That he's here to save us. And by our saying his name regularly, is an implementation of the sacredness of Christ in our daily life. Because it's the name of God. That is the Son. It's the name of the salvific work of Christ. It has sacramental power. In fact, so many of the saints who have gone before us have had true devotions to the name of Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to say Jesus' name in those trying joyous names moments throughout the day. St. Bernardine of Siena said that by saying the name of Jesus, it shows the immense mercifulness of God. It enables a devout man to gain a victory in every conflict, whether with the devil, the flesh, or the world. It has the power of healing sickness when rightly used. It fills with joy and exaltation those who are in any adversity. Did you hear those words of St. Bernardine of Siena? It shows the mercifulness of God. It helps us to gain victory in every conflict. It has the power of healing sickness when rightly used. It fills with joy and exaltation those who are in any adversity. Today's our weekly happy hour on trending. You want to be happier? Seek joy. Seek virtue. Seek a life of Christ. Jesus' name saves. He bestows graces in abundance upon you and I, if only we will unite ourselves to Him. Let's take this joy of the Christmas season far beyond these 12 days, far past Candlemas, far past all of these feast days, and let Him reign in and transform your life. We read in sacred scripture about the significance of Jesus' name as well. We read where St. Peter in Acts chapter 10 says, To him bear all the prophets witness, that through his name everyone that believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. That is, whoever through his name, whoever believes on him, shall have their sins forgiven. In 1 John chapter 2, John the beloved apostle, he says, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. In Acts of the Apostles, we read, there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is so powerful. Say his name, honor his name, genuflect, nod your head when you hear that name in honor and respect for our Lord. And what he has done for us and what he will do for us if we will only cooperate in his mercy, in his graces, and unite ourselves to him. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. It's a new year, and perhaps you're saying it's a new you as well. Maybe that's your mantra this year. Let's talk for just a few minutes here about how to stick to your goals. Now, if you didn't join us earlier in the show, I talked about making some Catholic goals for 2022. I hope you will go back and listen to this podcast because I gave some great ideas for how to just pepper in a little bit more of your Catholic faith throughout your day, maybe even just throughout your year, or throughout those day-to-day moments where maybe there's a part of your life where you need to invite our Lord in. Now, whether you're working on those Catholic goals for 2022, or maybe you're working on the weight loss or getting back to the gym, quitting caffeine, being nicer to your spouse, I don't know, whatever it is for you, being more patient, how on earth do you stick to your goals? Okay, number one tip, write it down. And write it down somewhere where you will frequent often. So here's what I did. I love Google Documents. I use them for everything. I've like sold my soul to Google, really though. Okay, now I'm going to get a million emails about why Google is evil. Yes, I understand. Okay, I always do, like, God forbid, like truly, I'm not trying to take our Lord's name in vain, but like if I actually say like I shop at this particular store ever, someone always finds a way to just like nail me for it. Anyways, write down your goals. Write them down. Now, this is important. What I do is I have a Google document and I put my goals in. I have one category that's short term and another category that's long term. And what I do is long-term will be maybe 5 or plus years. Short-term might be, you know, 6 months, a year, or something such as that. And what I do is I have a calendar reminder. I get a reminder every 3 weeks to go and look at my goals. And in that document, I update the last date it was that I looked at those goals. And I adjust them. I maybe go in and highlight in red or orange or yellow or green, depending on, you know, maybe how urgent something is or if I'm struggling with implementing it. And, you know, everything could be from buying a house to, for a while, it was having a child. All of these things that we implement, paying off debt. I remember one of the things I did was making an investment. You know, I had a goal by 2016, I was going to make, you know, an exo large investment. All of these things are so important, and you can adjust them when you're looking at them regularly, when you keep them in front of you. And so schedule a time. It only takes a couple minutes once you've actually established those goals to review them in your life. A third thing, so number one, write it. Two, schedule a time to review it regularly. I personally do it every 3 weeks because a month goes by, it's just too long, or if I forget to do it, I don't want it to be too long of a gap. The third thing is maybe you're someone who needs milestones of progress. So let's say you're trying to make your goal for 2022 is to make a $5,000 investment by the end of the year, whatever it might be. Maybe halfway into the year, you know that by June 1st, you need to have $2,500 already set aside so that you can make that $5,000 investment at least by the end of the year. So you have milestones. You can celebrate them. You know, you have markers along the way. And those are great things to do, or maybe your milestones, maybe you're trying to be nicer to your husband this year. So one of your milestones is in March, you ask your husband, hey, how are things going? You check in, share, you know, have you noticed any change? Have I been nicer? I don't know. Conversations like that can be helpful. You can figure out how you want to have that. But those are things you can do. Okay, number four is kind of what I already mentioned. Have that document listing your short and long-term goals. I already explained short-term might be 6 months to a year. Long-term might be 3 to 5 years or longer. And again, calendar that in every 3 weeks to look at it. Number five, I think that this is one of the more important things for learning to stick to your goals, whatever it might be, whether it's praying more, exercising, losing weight, cooking more. The hard thing is sometimes you just have to wake up earlier to get everything you want to get in done. So maybe you need to wake up 30 minutes earlier. Maybe you need to wake up 2 hours earlier. That's why my husband wakes up at like 4:30 every day. That way he has time to read, he has time to pray, he has time to go to the gym, and I'm not going to interrupt all of his time at 4:30 in the morning. That might be your only way. Happy 2022, Merry Christmas. I hope you're able to stick to your goals and make some good Catholic goals this year. This is Tim Ray from Trending with Tim Ray. 2022 is going to be a major year on the abortion front. Will we see Roe v. Wade overturned? Will abortion go back to the states? I'm going to be joined on Tuesday here on Trending with an on-the-grounds worker who's working with women in crisis pregnancy. We'll talk about what we should expect ahead as we work to reach women who are in crisis, whether abortion's legal or not. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.